This is Jim Inkster. Join me today for Talk Louisiana, and we'll start with activists Daryl Glasper and Collis Temple. They'll discuss President Trump's statements directed at Black Americans. Glasper and Temple were college basketball stars at Southern and LSU at the same time. Glasper, who's been with us a few times, is a Republican, former Baton Rouge Metro Councilman, and Temple is a Democrat, a prominent businessman. He integrated the LSU roundball program in 1970. These guys have known each other, by the way, for about 50 years. Musician Jules Parker of the Hussey Hicks is slated to be with us on the Australian group's performance in Baton Rouge. And Ron Fine, the legal director for Free Speech for People, will analyze the prospect of impeachment proceedings against President Donald John Trump. Now the news on 89.3 WRKF. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Ali Baltazar and Becca Dill are producing, and we have two fascinating gentlemen in studio to start the program. They've been part of the Baton Rouge community for about a half century. Daryl Glasper, pride of McKinley High and Southern University, track star, basketball star, and Collis Temple, who came from Kentwood to LSU in the year of 1970 and integrated the LSU basketball program. They're here, but both of these men have become active in the community post-basketball, and Daryl was a Metro Councilman, Collis is a prominent business person in our community. If you'd like to join the conversation, 877-217-5757, 297-5633 in Baton Rouge, and you can send us an email, talk@talklouisiana.org. Collis and Daryl are here today to talk about political matters, and the President of the United States continues to dominate the news cycle, and as we were on yesterday with Mike McClanahan of the NAACP, the story broke that the President added his former White House aide Omarosa Manigault Newman to the growing list of African Americans he's publicly denigrated on Twitter, calling her that dog, and a crazed, crying lowlife after her allegations against him of mental deterioration and racism. Now, these two go back a long way, going back to the Apprentice years. And, Ali, can we pull up the tape that Omarosa released? She was fired, she says, by General Kelly, and the president confirmed that. In fact, if you'll hear, the president of the United States says he didn't even know anything about her firing. Here we go.
Do again. Let's listen.
Omarosa, what's going on? I just saw in the news that you're thinking about leaving. What happened?
General Kelly came to me and said that you guys wanted me to leave.
No, I nobody even told me about it. Nobody.
Wow.
You know, they run a big operation, but I didn't know it. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Damn it.
All right. That's,
I don't love
that's
you
the,
leaving at all.
That's the tape. He doesn't love her leaving at all. Daryl Glasper, you and I see each other occasionally at a restaurant, and if a man were to call a woman a dog in that restaurant, I imagine you would pop up and punch him in the mouth. No. What do you think about the president using that term?
Yeah, I don't know if I'd jump up and pop him in the mouth, Jim, but listen to me, Jim. This is politics. Now, you know, and I can set the stage, that you know I'm not going to criticize the president of the United States. Let me tell you why. First of all, Omarosa, he should have run her ass out that White House before she ever got there. Now, let me tell you why, Jim. This is a person that blocked African-American organizations, individuals, businesses from coming into the White House because they had to come through her. Now, I knew a whole lot of the players at the very beginning of this man administration, from Ranks Priebus and a number of people working in the administration. I'm saying to you that they were walking on eggshells because of her relationship with Donald Trump. He mentored her. And then just like anything else, this is not about anybody calling anybody a Negro, nigger, or N-word. This is about M-O-N-E-Y. Her book came out the first day, and guess what, Jim? She already have a 30% discount. So you know what that means? Nobody's buying it.
All right. Well, does that excuse the president, who has, of course, great power and authority and supposedly speaks from a moral perch, calling anybody a dog, much less a person who worked for him, and an African-American female? That would seem to be something that if Joe Oliva were to say that about a black female employee, he'd be gone. No, out of here. See you. Good night. Why not the president?
Listen to me. Let's not talk about just black. Anybody who attacks this president I don't care if you white, black, man, male or female. The president's going to retaliate because he is a human being. This is somebody that he mentored from early on and worked in the White House. Look, you know, it's about money. It's not about all that. And I know they're trying to get the president. The more they attack this man, the stronger he's getting.
All right. Collis Temple, a Democrat, and as you can hear, Daryl Glasper, a card-carrying conservative Republican now who is courted in GOP circles, recently was a keynoter at the Trump International Hotel at an event hosted by none other than Steve Bannon. Collis, do you look at it differently than your brother Daryl?
Well, I think that we're in a very, very low moral and emotional moment at this time because the president certainly should have more restraint about his response to certain circumstances involving individuals. And I certainly don't feel like it's appropriate or makes for a healthy relationship across the board as it relates to Republicans, Democrats, conservatives, liberals. I just think it's real unfortunate that this guy would put himself in a position, and I say this guy, I'm saying the president, would put himself in a position to quarrel with a person like this young lady. Daryl said that he mentored the young lady. He obviously, it didn't take, or he did a poor job, or maybe she's mimicking some of the attitudes and actions that he shows. And so consequently, when you bring a person like that in, when the reality sets in, that's what you get. And so Trump got upset. He's an emotional guy, and he fires off. And the first thing that comes up in his head comes out of his mouth. And Daryl said he's human like anybody else. So he just, to me, has some real low factors as it relates to calling people inappropriate names.
877-217-5757. That's our number. Jim on corporate. You're on the air with Collis Temple and Daryl Glasper. Hi, Jim.
Yeah, hi, gentlemen. Daryl, you were completely incorrect when you stated that President Trump is an equal opportunity offender on Twitter with his outbursts. He has specifically targeted African-American athletes, white athletes. He has been mysteriously silent even when they criticize him. He criticized him roundly and criticize him often.
Daryl, your response to Jim on corporate.
Well, he says I'm wrong, but I'm going to tell you I'm absolutely right. LeBron James has been attacking the president of the United States of America since 2016. In one tweet, Donald Trump destroyed him. In one tweet. Now, listen to me. Everybody gets enough. I had two grandmothers. One said, turn the other cheek. The other one said, throw the other fist. He threw the other fist, but he restrained himself. Look, I want to say this to you. We've had leaders in this country. And I want to say this, and I'm not going to try to shift. I don't run from anything. Everybody on here talking about African Americans. As soon as somebody call black a bad name, if that's a white person, the whole country want to erupt. But let me just tell you, Jim, black people not buying this.
All right, we did call LeBron James a low IQ individual. He says of Maxine Waters, African American congresswoman, she has a low IQ. He called Don Lemon, the CNN anchor from Baton Rouge,
the dumbest on TV, and he's right, from Louisiana.
From Baker, Louisiana.
From Louisiana.
Yeah. But he was involved with another lady from those parts, not far away in Scotlandville, Stormy Daniels, and I don't think he thought she was
He didn't call
dumb.
Her a bad name, did he?
No.
See Jim.
He slept with her.
Right, Jim, let me say this to you. Jim, and I know this, to your audience, everybody wants to talk about black and white. That would move this country. No one wants to talk about $4.4 trillion that come out. Anybody that talks to Daryl W. Glasper, you better be talking to me about how African Americans can get to that $4.4 trillion, get a better educational system, get better jobs, better training. We don't talk about those things.
All right, Collis Temple, Daryl's giving you a lot to chew on, and I see you frowning just a bit. Why?
Well, the truth of the matter is, Donald Trump sits in the number one seat basically in the world, if you really want to look at it like that. In terms of collective power, He's probably the greatest force in the world as an individual because he's president of the free world. And so he should set a much better professional example. He should set a much better example for everyone involved. He has to work towards restraining himself. Now, Darryl mentioned the fact that he was negative towards LeBron James. LeBron is a guy who's a very wealthy guy. He's a very prominent athlete. He has a lot of influence and a lot of power in a lot of circles. And he said that Donald Trump, you know, was a bum, and he wasn't going to visit the White House if he won the world championship. He said that because that's what he felt. And, of course, the recourse was Trump said the guy was a dumb guy, and he was – And Don Lemon was a dumb guy. Now, when you think about what LeBron is doing with his resources, he's building Akron, he's building schools, he's developing mm-hmm. the community, he's putting a lot of resources in the community and very encouraging to a lot of young people, black and white, I'm sure. At the same time, Don, who's the leader of the free world, I don't know if he's the guy who's locking folk up, splitting families and what have you, but he is in the leadership role to push forth those kinds of things. And on two or three different occasions, Donald Trump's wife has disagreed with him in terms of how he's approached certain things. One thing that was highly, highly visible in particular was the way he was negative towards LeBron. And mm-hmm. she said she thought that LeBron was doing some great things and going to visit his schools. And so, you know, Donald Trump needs to take the high moral ground, in my opinion.
Collis Temple and Darryl Glasper with us. Collis, by the way, has a son, Garrett, former LSU star, who's playing in the NBA and doing rather well. We'll be back after this pause. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. I feel like it's Twilight of the Gods Day. Two great athletes who are now in their mid-60s. Both of them are Medicare eligible, Darryl Glasper.
You about right, and feel like it too.
And Collis Temple. And at one time in the same town, they were stars on opposite sides of the city, and they're on opposite sides of the political spectrum. Darryl's a Republican, Collis a Democrat. We're talking about the President of the United States. A reminder that Governor John Bel Edwards will have his monthly show this afternoon on WRKF starting at 2 o'clock, doing it right here from this studio. 877-217-5757. Rinaldi in North Baton Rouge. Rinaldi, you're on the air with Darryl and Collis. Hi, Rinaldi.
Hi, good morning. I have a great deal of respect for both of you gentlemen and what you're doing in our community. And Darryl, I'm going to take this thing beyond the black-white situation of economics and other things. I will admit to you that the president is an equal opportunity offender for everybody. I'm going to agree with you on that. He couldn't even bring himself to call the defense bill the McCain defense bill. Now, Senator McCain served in Vietnam, was injured, was captured, but yet our president, and I say our president, got five deferrals. So, you know, with Donald Trump, skip the black-white stuff, not skip it, but just add it into the mix of how many times he's lied and how many times he's deferred from things. Let us not forget the Central Park joggers. Those guys were exonerated by the court system. Why would you call a person of Mexican-American descent that is a federal judge cleared by the United States Senate and nominated by a former president, why would you say he has a bias against you because he's talking about your fake school?
All right, Darryl. Thank you, Rinaldi.
Listen to me. The bottom line is that Donald Trump is who he is. You know, Corey Lewandowski and David wrote a book about him, Let Trump Be Trump. Let me tell you why Donald Trump got elected. Donald Trump got elected because all the nice guys that they're talking about, Collis is an athlete. He just said it. Nice guys finish last. What we needed in this country was a person like Donald Trump. You know why? Because who else can go into a meeting of NATO and come out in one day with $4 billion, everybody paying their fair share? Who in the world is bringing manufacturing jobs back? Look, man, don't get caught up in the hysteria about what he doing on a daily basis. I told one of my friends the other day in an airport in Akron, Ohio. We went up on the jet. You know what I was telling him? Listen to me. He's not coming to your house and you're not going to his. You go to your house, take care of your family. Mm-hmm. You keep making money in this manufacturing plant that you just resurface because of Donald Trump's tax breaks, and everything's fine.
All right, well, Collis, if President Obama were acting like this, would he get a pass? Would he get a mulligan, or would people be all over him?
He would not get a pass at all. And if George Bush was acting like this, he wouldn't get a pass. It's just unfortunate that Mr. Trump has an immoral mindset about speaking in a negative tone. Daryl said people talk to him every day. He's moving around every day. And the fact of the matter is that God does not have to tweet like that. But it's a part of his DNA. It's a part of his upbringing, his baseline. That's the unfortunate thing about it. Truth of the matter is, clearly, he's the president of the United States, so we have to move along and work with this.
David in Atlanta. Hi, David. You're on with Daryl Glasper and Collis Temple.
Good morning, gentlemen. I have more confidence and faith in LeBron James' decency and integrity because he's opening a school for disadvantaged children. Trump opened Trump University, clearly intended to defraud and rip people off. And I'd like to point out to those fools living in Trump paradise, thinking the tax cuts are helping them, the Labor Department has reported that the cost of living is far exceeding increase in wages, and the Congressional Budget Office yesterday said in 2019 the growth of gross domestic product will be a mere 2.4%, not even close to what it would have to be to pay off this horrendous debt.
All right, Daryl Glasper.
You know what I like about David? David, yeah. Every time I'm in, David calls. David, you're doing a good job, man.
All right.
You know why? Because they've got an election, and that election is in 2020. You got an opportunity to go and do what you have to do. I want to say this to people that's listening to your show. I'm looking at the same TV you're looking at. African Americans are not dancing in the street. They're not riding. They're looking, and they're sitting back, and they're watching this president make this country stronger and making their lives better. And I can tell you why. We said you want to talk about Barack Obama? When he was president for 8 years, every statistical data number dealing with African Americans in this country went up and not down. Now listen to me. If it went up and not down, that means that you were doing worse under an African American president.
By the end of his presidency, on a percentage basis, more African Americans were employed than they were at the beginning. He inherited a colossal economic catastrophe, Daryl Glasper.
I understand this, but let me just say this to you, Jim. I tell you, I deal in dollars and cents. He put $150 billion on transport planes, and he sent it to Iran. You know what? You don't think them pilots could have passed by a couple of black neighborhoods and dropped some money out of there?
Don't you think he was an elegant man, though?
Elegance and finish last. Elegance and weak. Collis is an athlete, and I'm an athlete. You know what they say when you walk in the gym and you string your shoes up? Good guys, they finish last.
Collis?
Well, you know, Daryl and I have been friends for a long time, and we've been competitors for a long time. And he's a politician. He got elected. I never got elected, so he knows much more about the politics of things than I do. I'm talking about the realization of people having a positive leadership attitude, and I just feel like it's very important for guys and ladies who are in responsible positions as elected officials to act professional and work towards pulling people together and not dividing people. And I think Mr. Trump is an excellent divider.
Gustavo on Goodwood. Gustavo, you're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning. First of all, allow me to give Mr. Temple all kinds of kudos for the great family that he has raised. His sons are tremendous, as is him.
Thank you. I base
this just on what I have seen with them playing for LSU and so on. I think you have raised a tremendous family.
Thank you.
That said, I only have one question. Everybody calls Mr. Trump divisive. I think Mr. Obama was the most divisive president that we have ever had, in the sense that all kinds of factions raised up and created all kinds of tensions all over the place. We have not had riots like we have had like we had in the Ferguson situation, even slightly in Baton Rouge and so on.
All right. Well, there was Charlottesville. Well, but Collis, your response to Gustavo.
Well, my response is Charlottesville was clearly the greatest exhibition of a Klan rally and people who had Nazi mm-hmm. attitudes. These people came out and were clearly a part of dividing the country in a very, very major way. I didn't see that go on when Barack was president. I didn't see that go on when Bush was president. I didn't see it go on when Clinton or Carter were president. But this gentleman has a way of throwing a grenade and causing everybody to have to duck and take sides.
877-217-5757. Before we go to the break, let's slide in Dan downtown. Dan, you're on the air with Daryl and Collis. Hi, Dan.
Hi. Mr. Glasper, there's mention of how LeBron James is using his monetary resources for the public good, for what he sincerely believes in. By contrast, are you receiving any kind of monetary resources from the Republican Party or other conservative groups in order to advance the right-wing agenda for the rich and powerful?
All right. Are you getting rewarded for your statements?
I want to be very, very clear. No one, nowhere, at no time can ever produce you a check or anything else that they gave Daryl Glass. But let me tell you why. They don't have to. That's why I went to McKinley, one of the best schools in town, in Southern University, that taught me the definition between supply and demand. I'll outwork anybody, any day, any time, with my ability to think for my damn self. But don't you ever open your mouth and think that somebody's going to pay me to do anything. Brother, there ain't enough money. They can't print it in Washington, D.C. enough to try to buy me.
877-217-5757 is your number. Back with Glasper and Temple. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Allie Baltazar and Becca Dill are producing and in studio for a bit longer. Collis Temple and Daryl Glasper. On opposite sides of the political spectrum, these gentlemen have known each other for 50 years, and they are certainly on opposite sides of Donald John Trump. Chris in Zachary. Chris, good morning to you. You're on Talk Louisiana. Hi, Chris.
Good morning. How are you today?
Fine.
Great. I just want to make a comment. From where I stand, I look at President Trump as being a great divider of our country, and not just of our country, of the world. With the way he speaks to and about people, and the way he represents our country, to me, is reprehensible. My mother would have smacked me if I spoke the way he does about other people. And I hate to say it, but just watch to the future and see what happens. But I think we're going to see ourselves not just growing, but I think we're going to find ourselves getting into more hot water than we're going to be able to get out of.
All right. Thank you, Chris. The coarsening of the culture. Some people say that the president, who is the leader of our country, is encouraging other people to behave like him. There's a front page story here of a school board member, Connie Bernard, today, Daryl Glasper, accused of entering a home without permission during a party, and a tape of her spewing the F word 8 times in 22 seconds. What do you think?
I don't think you should go in somebody's home and do anything like that. You know, you call the police, that's what the police is for. So I think as elected official, that's a problem. You know, it's a problem because you enter in somebody's house because of noise. She doesn't have any opposition, but you can't tolerate that. But I want to get back to being a divider. Trump has done more good for this country for a year and a half. And you know the strange thing about it? We're still talking about him every day. You know why? Because he's effective at what he's doing. His method may be a little bit more unorthodox, but I want to say this to you. All the presidents together allowed our jobs and manufacturing jobs to leave this country. They allowed this country military to get weak. And if Donald Trump is making America great and as good as it is, And look,
all right.
Airport, hold up, Jim. Airports are not closed. If you don't like it, you can get on the plane. You can go all anywhere right, you want to go.
Al in Millerville. Hi, Al. Hi, you're on the air with Collis and Daryl. Hi, Al.
Hi, this refers to a comment made earlier by Mr. Glasper in regard to the NATO meeting. And according to the communique that came out, the official communique from NATO, the countries only agreed to reaffirm their commitment to the 2.5% defense spending that they had previously agreed to. And so I don't know where this $4.5 billion that Mr. Glasper referred to.
All right. Thank you, Al. Phil in Jefferson Terrace. Hi, Phil. You're on with Daryl and Collis. Hi, Phil.
Hi, Jim. You know something? I think that tariffs can be a good thing. We had tariffs here when we started our companies, when this was a new nation, to protect our homegrown industries. And if those tariffs do result in more manufacturing jobs coming back here, that would be a good thing. I'm not sure that that's going to happen. And it's not bad to get along with Russia. What I firmly have a hard time with is why do we have to talk about the president's sex life? You know something, just say something. I mean, we really are at a ridiculous point where you can get fired for just saying something.
All right, Collis. Phil, continuing the discussion about how the culture has changed under this president, your thoughts?
I don't necessarily think we ought to talk about the president's sex life. I think that the president talks about it enough himself. He's the one that said you grab women's genitals. He's the one who called ladies dogs. He clearly has a very low regard for females to be as negative as he's been. And the truth of the matter is, you know, women's suffrage came into play about 1920 or so, where people ladies were allowed to vote, at least half the greatest resource that we have in this country are ladies. We have a mayor who's the mayor of Baton Rouge. It's a female. The mayor of New Orleans is a female. The mayor of Shreveport is a female. What we have not done in the past, in so many instances, is allow some of the best people that we have alive to move forward. And so if we open things up and are positive and encouraging the people on all sides of the equation, we can be a lot more effective. And I think that Mr. Trump, if you look at the meetings that took place against or with the allies that the United States had, Trump had a problem with the two lady leaders. If you think of, you reflect about it, it bled into having problems with the Canadian leader and bled into having problems with the French leader. So he obviously has a clear and concise problem with dealing with females. The ladies married, the ladies that he was married to, I don't talk about his sex life. I'm just talking about the reality of how he lives his life. And it's a challenge for so many people.
Daryl?
Yeah, well, I'm going to say this. I was raised by my grandmother and my mother, and I have the most respect for women at all time. But you're dealing with individuals who are beating up on a guy, who are fabricating things about him and talking about his mental health. And let me say this. I always say this. We all are human. The newspapers never say anything good about him. He gets up every day. He tried to make America great. And then we twist the narrative to say, well, he's treating women bad. Amarosa should have been out of the White House 2 days after she got there.
877-217-5757. A little bit more time with Collis Temple and Daryl Glasper. And this is David in Shenandoah. Hi, David. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Thank you, Jim. Two comments. I think President Trump's demeanor and attitude that he projects is outrageous. And I would also like to hear a response as far as why do we need to put billions of dollars toward a border wall instead of directing it toward health care?
Well, I can say this. You know, when African Americans in this country are now doing better, you see, the problem is open borders hurt the lowest wages individuals in your country. And so African Americans have to compete against individuals that are coming here taking their jobs and taking their businesses in their communities. Mm-hmm. That's why we want to close the borders and to stop drugs and individuals who are bad in their country from coming here doing harm in yours. Now, I simply tell people all the time, if you want open borders, let them come in your neighborhood.
All right. Carlos, the president said the Mexicans were going to pay for that wall. You think they will?
I think the president of Mexico said on two different occasions and on a very public narrative that he was not interested in paying for the wall at all. I think Mr. Trump says things that he wants to see happen, but, you know, he tries to talk it into happening, but that doesn't work in many instances.
All right, Bobby in South Baton Rouge. Bobby, you're on the air with Collis and Darrell. Hi, Bobby.
Hey, how you doing? Look, the reality is Trump is just a racist, man. Come on, look at his cabinet. Look at the White House. Look at the staff. You don't have no blacks in there, period.
All right, we do have Ben Carson, who's a member of the cabinet.
Hey, you know what? When you have the entire African-American legislature beating up on him, I said, look here, do you let your enemy come up in your house? I know that damn sure ain't coming up in mine. So that's my feeling. Look, let me say this to you. We're trying to manufacture something. Let me tell you what we all have. We got the right to vote, brother. And the election is coming up, and either you're going to go one way mm-hmm. or the other. Donald Trump's going to be on the ballot. Let's keep talking about it for the next 4 years. The more you beat up on this man, the more he perform for the country. If you are an American, this man is for America first, and if you attack him, he's going to attack back.
All right, Collis?
One man, one vote is the baseline of American values. One man, one vote. Taxation without representation is a problem. You know, when we were taxed by the British and we just got tired of being taxed, and not getting anything in return. Now, reality of it is, Darrell said, I wouldn't bring an enemy into the White House. Well, I don't suggest that African-American people are enemies of the White House. Donald Trump, in all of his wherewithal and all his skill set and all his wisdom, should have the consideration in place whereby he can have people of color involved in his cabinet. He has only one person, and that's unfortunate. We have a nation of 360 million people, and I guess about 15% of that nation is African-American. There should be some African-American folk working on his staff and working in his behalf.
Right.
There should be some Latinos working on his staff and in his behalf. So I just think it's a fair thing across the board to be inclusive and not exclusive of people who have skill sets and talents.
Steve Wenham writes to you, Darrell, saying, Darrell will not admit it, but it's clear to me his goal is to be a darling of his party and to advance himself politically. He's not unique in this, and it goes a long way to explain the support Trump has among members of his party. Your thoughts?
I will never, ever, ever run for public office again. I've been a player outside the realm of being an elected official. I
want
to surprise you. I've been a player for 17 years, so I ain't just starting being a player. I've been for 17 years. When I left the Democratic Party, who didn't want me, I'm proud of the fact I was not what the Democratic Party was about because I was not about gambling. Gambling destroyed South Baton Rouge. Gambling. That's what it was about. And I'm going to say this to you. I don't want to be the darling of nothing. Jim, I come on here. I'm a busy person. But I want to say this to your listeners. We, as in the media, the reason Trump tweets, Jim, you're a great host. Right. But they lie constantly. Lie all the time.
Well, thank you, Darrell. Thank you, Collis. Let's do this again.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Enjoyed it. Take care. Bye-bye.
We're back after this pause on Talk Louisiana. Okay. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Coming in just a moment, Ron Fine, the legal director for Free Speech for People. And we did have several folks who were trying to get in at the end of our conversation with Collis and Darrell. And Ali Baltazar has chosen one of them. This is Willie at Memorial Stadium. Willie, before we suspend discussion about the previous guests or the discussion they were having, I know you had something you wanted to get off your chest. Hi, Willie.
Hey, how you doing? I believe it was Isaac Newton that said in regards to for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. And I feel as if that this is America showing the opposite reaction for us having an African-American president for the past 8 years. And now its ugly head is reared. And I just do the comparison to think if Barack Obama had had any of these scandals or as many of these scandals when he was in office, what the repercussion would have been. And like I say, Donald Trump is tearing America apart as Barack Obama tried to bring us closer together.
Well, thank you for your thoughts. Appreciate it, Willie. Sure. Take care. Good to hear from you. 877-217-5757 as we move to Ron Fine, legal director for Free Speech for People. He is also the co-author of a book that premiered yesterday, The Constitution Demands It. And good morning to you, Ron.
Good morning. It's a pleasure.
It's nice to talk with you. What do you think the prospects are of the impeachment of President Trump?
Well, we wrote this book to help Americans understand why there is already enough evidence for Congress to begin impeachment hearings now. And we lay out the facts and legal analysis for 8 different potential grounds for impeachment proceedings. And part of our goal is to explain to Americans in general and to Congress in particular why time has come to start this process now, to clear up some common misunderstandings about impeachment, and to make the case for why Congress should move forward with impeachment hearings as soon as possible. But it won't happen unless we push for it.
All right. Well, before we get to the merits of impeachment, this is a political move as well. And if the Democrats regain control of the House, it would seem impeachment would be a strong possibility if the Democrats choose to move in that direction. But like President Clinton, it would seem highly unlikely that 67 U.S. senators would vote for impeachment, and that's what it would take to remove a president from office, 2/3 of the Senate. So why move down this road if it's not going to pay the ultimate dividend in the removal of the president?
Well, I think it's a mistake to prematurely count noses when we haven't even started the process. So, for example, if you were to take a look at the Nixon impeachment proceedings in 1974, or even before they began, which is the comparable state we're at right now, and if you were to ask people, you know, what do you think is the likelihood that the president will be impeached and then convicted in the Senate, before impeachment hearings had even begun, the answer would have seemed like, well, it doesn't seem likely to me. But as time went on, the impeachment hearings themselves served as a national education process. They developed the public support for impeachment, and they shifted the dynamics. And I think we can't count noses before we've even started the process.
What do you think? You say there are 8 different areas. What are the principal areas that you view as prospects for impeachment or reasons for impeachment?
Well, as you said, there are 8, and we lay them all out in detail. The very first one that the president committed, he actually began at the moment he took the oath of office, which is taking payments from foreign governments, which may be okay for a private businessman, but is specifically prohibited under the Constitution for federal officials, including the president. And since then, the list has only multiplied. And part of the reason that the list continues to multiply is that Congress's inaction gives Trump the sense that he can get away with anything, whether that be obstruction of justice, whether that be abuse of the pardon power, or any of the other grounds that we've identified.
Well, that's one of the 6. You believe that he has obstructed justice. In what way?
This began almost immediately after he took the oath of office, and much of it happened in public. But what we now know is that just a few days after taking office, the president began a campaign of pressuring James Comey, who was then the director of the FBI, into loyalty and to laying off investigations of the president's associates and later the president himself. And he first tried to cajole Comey and then pressured him and finally fired him and then announced on national television that he had done it to attempt to frustrate the investigation into his campaign's interactions with Russian operatives. since then, he's continued, whether through Twitter or through efforts to fire or otherwise block the efforts of law enforcement officials to interfere in any way that he can with the ongoing investigations, both in the executive branch and in Congress, that come a little too close to him.
877-217-5757 for Ron Fine. The book is The Constitution Demands It, The Case for the Impeachment of Donald Trump. Ron is legal director for Free Speech for People. And you also believe that the president's attacks on the media are a reason for impeachment. Why?
Yeah, so, I mean, presidents are certainly entitled to criticize reporters of particular stories or more broadly, and no one is questioning that. But something that strongman leaders in other countries, like Turkey or Venezuela, have discovered is that you can seriously undermine the freedom of the press without going so far as direct censorship. And the president has done a course of action over the course of his presidency that one individual action maybe wouldn't add up to an impeachable offense, but the entire pattern does. And that starts with calling the press the enemy of the people, and it continues into things like threatening to criminally prosecute reporters, pressuring news companies to fire particular reporters based on particular stories, attempting to raise the shipping rates on Amazon as an indirect way to punish the Washington Post, and continuing to use any mechanism that he can find and get away with to punish the media for reporting on him. And when you add this all together, it creates a pattern that undermines the First Amendment freedom of the press, which is the fundamental check on presidential governmental overreach.
Also, you believe that he has abused the pardon power. How has the president done that in your analysis?
The pardon power is very broad, but it is not unlimited. And we know that the pardon power is not unlimited because the founders of the Constitution, including James Madison, told us that abuse of the pardon power would be grounds for impeachment. And Trump's very first pardon was of Sheriff Joe Arpaio, who was pardoned for something that no president had ever pardoned anyone for before. And that is the following. Joe Arpaio was convicted of criminal contempt of court for a time when he was a sheriff in Arizona. And he was convicted of criminal contempt for deliberately disobeying a court order to stop violating individuals' constitutional rights. So what that means is that when people, there were Latino drivers, sued the sheriff's office for violating their constitutional rights, federal judge agreed and said, stop doing this, and issued an injunction, and Arpaio ignored that injunction deliberately and was then convicted of criminal contempt of court. By pardoning him, what Trump did was totally undermine the constitutional right to due process of law, because if the president will issue a get-out-of-jail-free card to any government official who violates individuals' constitutional rights and then is held to account for it, then those officials, whether it's Arpaio or anyone else, face no real restraints on their behavior. And that's an example of misusing and abusing the presidential pardon power in a way that goes outside the acceptable bounds and is a ground for impeachment.
Well, thank you, Ron Fine. The book, again, is The Constitution Demands It, The Case for the Impeachment of Donald Trump, and it premiered yesterday. It's been a pleasure. Good talking with you.
Thank you.
And as noted in our preview of today's show, we are going to speak very briefly with a member of the Hussey Hicks, a talented new folk duo from Australia. They were at the Dyson House 3 weeks ago, and according to reviews, were, quote, incredible, and now they are back, I think, tonight. Is that correct, Lisa?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. We're doing it all again because we had so much fun the first time.
Lisa, and it's Lisa Gents?
Gents,
like yeah. Gentlemen. Okay.
Exactly.
Well, you've performed in a lot of places, haven't you?
We have. We're an Australian band, but we've been over here since the 4th of July. And, man, we've just been traveling all over. We just got back from Alaska. We were in Alaska playing a festival and a bunch of club shows. Before that we were in California and we did the run through Baton Rouge and Mobile and Pensacola. And, we've been moving around.
Well, it's tonight at the Dyson House. The Hussey Hicks, this talented duo from Australia, they will be performing an encore appearance after setting the town afire a few weeks ago. And here they are. If you missed their performance from a few weeks ago, this is what you'll hear tonight if you are at the Dyson House for the Hussey Hicks.
Love and all its afflictions, it makes me wonder what I could be missing. If I change direction, I could be still on the sea. Loving all its confusion,